Hey, 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 happy Thursday, everybody. If you're a Met fan, you're feeling good today. How about that game yesterday? You know, a lot of people like to call themselves old school baseball. Well, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a baseball purist, that game was as good as it got yesterday. Nail biter to the end. And how about our boy, Michael Conforto, coming through with one of the greatest throws in the last few years by a New York Met. Saved the day. Saved a win. And enabled us to go today to try to win the series against the Braves. And that's what we wanted to do. That was a huge, huge play. Unbelievable. Now, it's amazing that the Mets are hanging tough. Hanging tough. And to have Conforto come up with a play like that, it really did save the day. Now, how about Tyler McGill? If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know how I feel about Tyler. I've been telling you, this kid's got stuff. The only thing is, he has to kind of eliminate his pitch count. He throws a lot of pitches, but when he's on, he is on. Now, I know he's up a lot quicker than what people thought. I'm not calling him a Jacob DeGrom yet. But what I'm saying is, no one expected Jacob DeGrom to be the pitcher he was. He kept maturing and getting better and better. We could be seeing the same process with Tyler McGill, where he's just going to get better and better. So he came through with a clutch effort. How about Brandon Drury, back and better than ever? And Jeris Familia. Big, big nights for all of them. But it went all, might have gone all for naught without Michael Conforto's right arm. The right fielder saved the Mets' 2-win victory over the Braves in ninth inning, throwing a perfect strike to catcher James McGann to gun down the potential tying run and send Citi Field into a madhouse. Best feeling in the world, Conforto said. I'm still sort of shaking from it right now. It's an awesome moment. Another incredible team win. And you could see in the post-game interview how excited Conforto was. He couldn't help but show his enthusiasm. And how about Drury? He came off the bench, put the Mets ahead in the seventh inning, crushing a pinch-hit home run off Braves starter Max Fried. Now, McGill set the stage for Drury's homer, tossing 5 1/3 strong innings of one-run baseball. And Jeris Familia made sure it stood up by coming out of the bullpen to put out another fire in the eighth inning. But the Mets saved the most dramatic moment for last, with Abraham Amalfi on second with one out in ninth. Pinch hitter Ere Adrianza cracked a one-out single to right field off Diaz. Almonte raced from second home, but Conforto unleashed a perfect throw to McCann, who slapped the tag for the second out. And I was at the edge of my seat. I said, oh, what a play. And then they're questioning whether or not the tag was applied before he crossed the plate. I said, oh, no. What a heartbreak it would be if that didn't count. But you know what? It did count. And then Diaz got Pablo Sandoval, the panda, to fly out to left field to secure the win. Like I said, the Mets even the series 2 games apiece, heading into Thursday's finale, and pushed their lead atop the NL East to 4 games over the Phillies and 5 games over the Braves. Now, Drury's winning blast off was just the latest addition to his red-hot week. Since being called up from AAA Syracuse on Saturday, Drury is 6-for-6 with 2 homers and 2 doubles. He was also 3-for-3 Tuesday after double switching into the game in the 4th inning. Overall this season, Drury is 7-for-15 with 3 home runs as a pinch hitter. Yes, he has come through in the pinch, and that's the story of the Mets this year. The guys you least expect it when you need it the most are coming through. And it's good to see Drury coming through like he is. Now, the Braves had tied the game at 1 in the 6th inning on a solo shot from Austin Riley, the lone blemish on McGill's night. Riley's 3rd homer in 2 nights snapped McGill's scoreless streak at 17 in the 3rd inning. But the right-hander continued to impress and give the Mets some much-needed consistency. McGill, who struck out 6, walked 1 and gave 5 hits, has now allowed 1 and 0 runs in each of his last 5 starts. Joining the doctor, Dwight Gooden is the only other Met rookie to accomplish the feat. On his 26th birthday, McGill lowered his ERA to 2.04 in the first 7 starts of his career. And what a demeanor he has. He is making adjustments. He's cruising through the lineups, and he attacks the hitters. And that's the major reason why he's been so effective. McGill also chipped in offensively with a 2-out single sparking a 3rd-inning rally. He came around to score on Jeff McNeil's RBI single for a 1-0 lead that extended McNeil's career hitting streak to 15 games. Familia later entered in the eighth to protect the 2-1 lead, but faced a challenging spot with runners on second and third with one out. He came through again, striking out Riley on a sinker in the dirt before getting Dansby Swanson a ground out to end the threat. And his sinker is really, really working for him. And you know what I also hope is working for the Metropolitans? Jacob DeGrom and his injury. I hope it's coming along better. He's going to go back on the mound Thursday for a second time since being shut down with forearm tightness. But beyond that, his schedule remains hazy. He is scheduled for a light bullpen session. He's feeling better, the club says. And I think they're keeping in close range, making sure everything's okay. It's got to be frustrating for Jake. What a year he's having when he's been healthy. As I tell you guys all the time, when you keep throwing the ball 100 miles an hour like that, that's not human-like. So hopefully he can knock it down a notch. I wouldn't mind him giving up a run or two now and then just to save himself. But we'll see what happens. Now, Dominic Smith, who was double-switched out of Tuesday's game in the fourth inning as Jared Eichhoff imploded, was out of Wednesday's lineup against the Braves' Max Fried. So they're keeping him fresh, and he's been doing okay. Now, unfortunately for Eichhoff, he gave up 10 runs while recording just 10 outs in a 12-5 loss to the Braves. The Mets designated him for assignment for the third time this season and made room for right-hander Akeem Bostic, who was called up from AAA Syracuse to fry the length out of the bullpen. Now, the Mets have finalized the rotation for this weekend's series against the Reds. Yes, Carlos Carrasco will make his Mets debut Friday. Rich Hill will start Saturday for the second time since being acquired for the Rays. And the Strowman will pitch on an extra day rest on Sunday. So I like rotation going into the weekend, too. Things are looking good, my friends. Things are looking good. What else is looking good? Well, hopefully Taijuan Walker is looking good. I am going to the game out in God's Country City Field. So I want to see Taijuan do well. So I feel like I didn't waste a trip, but the big picture is I wanted him to do well for all the Mets and the Mets prospects. He was in the midst of a breakout season and went to the All-Star game with a 2.50 ERA across his first 16 starts. In his two starts since his ERA has boomed nearly a full run while giving up 11 runs over 4 1/3 innings against the Pirates and Blue Jays. He will get a chance to correct course when he takes them out as the Mets finish a key series this afternoon against the Braves. So I think it's just something maybe he just has to work on, and like every pitcher has a slump. Hopefully it's just a bump on the road. He's been a savior for us with DeGrom and Peterson going on the list. Jacob DeGrom, David Peterson going on the injury list. But with that happening, he really hasn't really given the Mets the boost they needed while they were there. Or there, I should say. So we've had to depend on other people, but hopefully, the All-Star break slump is over with. Just needs to get his fastball back. I think it's mechanical. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything wrong as far as velocity and everything. You know, it could be a tired arm, too. He's already thrown 94 1/3 innings, and he hasn't reached that since 2017. And from 2018 to 2020, he threw just 67 1/3 innings because of Tommy John surgery. So the good news is with Carrasco's return on Friday, the Mets will have five healthy starters in the rotation with DeGrom potentially back in August, plus whatever they add before the trade deadline if they do anything. Further depth could allow the Mets to be cautious with Walker down the stretch, though Rojas said that they don't have any numbers in mind as limits for him. It's tough to guess. But hopefully he'll be back. He'll be back. Now, there's some speculation that Javier Baez really wants to come play with the Mets. He likes playing at Lindor. I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. No need to get Javier Baez. You're probably going to have to give up too much for him. He's saying that if he goes to free agency, he'd like to play with Francisco Lindor. So if they can get him cheap and Javi wants a sign, it's worth looking into. But just to get him as a rental, no go. So the Mets would have to almost be guaranteed that he's going to stay with the team. So we'll see what happens on that end. What else is happening, you say? Well, it is the trade deadline. What do the Mets do? Do you really want a Chris Bryant when J.D. Davis is actually putting up better offensive numbers than Chris Bryant? The starters, you got Kyle Gibson, Jordan Lyles, John Gray, Zach Davies. And I heard rumors of a John Gray, Trevor Story trade to the Mets. It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, the good thing about a trade at this point, it gives a jump start to the Mets. So we'll see what happens there. But your guess is as good as mine. It's a very exciting time of year. We always remember the Yoenis Cespedes trade that put us in the World Series in 2015. Can they catch lightning in a bottle twice? We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Here we go.
Okay, now it's time for a Mets trivia and Jeopardy question. Who's ready, folks? Who? Okay, good to see some of you are ready. Here's the first, the trivia question will come first. And it's provided by our good friend Harvey Porras. Harvey's asking, who is the oldest living Met? And today's Baseball Jeopardy question is, two clues, traded by the Tampa Bay Rays to New York Mets in exchange for Lucas Duda on July 27, 2017. Underwent Tommy John surgery during 2019 spring training, forcing him to miss the year. Is that your Jeopardy and trivia question? We'll be back at the end of the podcast to tell you how you did. Okay, it's time for Met birthdays. Who's ready? Raise your hands if you are. Okay, some of you are. That's good. So let's roll. First birthday is Felix Mantilla. Who remembers Felix? If you're a fan of 62 Mets, you do. He led the Mets in batting with a .275 average in 62. On base percentage with .330 and led the team in sacrifice flies. Yes, yes, yes. But then after that year, he was traded to the Boston Red Sox in exchange for Tracy Stouard, Pumpsy Green, and Al Moran. But in his 1 year with the Mets, he did play 141 games. So he was the main man at second base for the Mets in 62. Who else is having a birthday? Glad you asked. How about Louis Alicia? Yes. Now, you're saying, well, Louis didn't play with the Mets. He played with the Cardinals and a brief spell with the Royals. You're correct. But, we forget that he was the Mets' first base coach in 2009. So happy birthday, Louis Alicia. Yes, we're going. Now, also on this day, we watched Johnny Lewis. Who remembers Johnny Lewis? See, some of you do, and that's always good to see. Johnny Lewis patrolled the outfield for us. He had a big year in 65, played 145 games for us. And that year, he led the Mets in runs with 64, stolen bases, on-base percentage, on-base plus slugging percentage, and led the Mets in walks. So he was their main cog offensively, and he wore number 24. Then he played for a few games in 66 and 67. He was traded to the Mets with Gordy Richardson in exchange for Elio Chacon and Tracy Stouard in 64, and in 65 was his big year with the Mets. Now, what else is going on in Met history? On this day in 63, the Mets traded Jackie Davis to the Cardinals for Duke Carmel. They traded Jeff Kent and Jose Vizcaino for Carlos Baerga and Alvaro Espinosa. Do we really want to talk about that trade? And they traded Ray Sanchez to Mariners for Kenny Kelly in 2003 and traded Jason Vargas, controversial figure in the clubhouse, wasn't he, to the Philadelphia Phillies for Austin Bassart on this date in 2019. Now, let's go to a date in this, a game in this date in Met history. Let's put on our time travel hats and go back to 2001. On this afternoon, the Phillies got another dose of Mets walk-off. The starters were Nelsy getting figgy with it, Figueroa. Not for the Mets, but he was pitching for the Phillies. And Kevin Apier for New York. The Kevin Apier signing was a big disappointment as he went 11-10 with 3.57 ERA in his one season with the Mets. He would go to Anaheim in a Mo Van Don deal at the end of the season. Now here's the Met lineup for that day. Joe McEwing, right field, batting leadoff. Desi Relaford, second base, batting second. Mike Piazza, catching, batting third. Robin Ventura, batting fourth, third base. Benny Agbayani, left field, batting fifth. Todd Zeal, batting sixth, first base. Tosoi Shinjo, sixth, batting seventh, center field. Ray Ordonez, shortstop, batting eighth. And Kevin Apier, pitching, batting ninth. Now, in the first, Desi Relaford singled and came home on Mike Piazza's double. It was a big day for Piazza, as he would have three hits with three RBIs. Yesterday's hero, Robin Ventura, followed with an RBI single, making it 2-0. Bobby Abreu's two-run homer tied it up in the fourth. In the seventh, inning, pinch hitter Lenny Harris walked and Desi Relaford singled once again, evincing Harris. Piazza grounded out, but Harris scored the Mets' third run. It was answered by Scott Rowland's two-run homer off John Franco in the eighth, putting the Phils up 5-4. In the eighth inning of this crazy game, Jay Payton led off with a base hit, and Thiasse Shinjo hit a two-run homer. That gave the Mets a 5-4 lead. It was Shinjo's sixth homer of the year. Now, in the ninth inning, Armando Benitez couldn't hold the lead once again, blowing the save up. He walked the leadoff man Kevin Jordan and gave a base hit to Johnny Estrada, advancing Jordan third. Brian Hunter's sac fly scored Jordan, tying it once again. In the bottom of the ninth, Mike Piazza finally ended the game, hitting a walk-off homer off reliever Riel Cormier. It was Piazza's 15th homer of the year. He would hit 36 in 2001, an eight-year stretch where he hit 30 or more homers each year, hitting 40 twice in that stretch. Piazza would have four walk-off homers in the Mets' career and six walk-off game-winning RBIs. What a good day for the Mets in that day, in Met history. What else happened on that day in Met history? Like I said, the Carlos Baerga trade for Jeff Kent. Oh boy, let's skip that one, folks. Now, on this date in 2000, recently acquired Mets make good first impressions as Mike Bordick goes 2-for-3, including a home run on the first pitch he sees as a Met, and Rick White pitches a scoreless inning to get the win. The other newcomer, Bubba Trammell, homer in his first at-bat in his Mets debut tomorrow. In this date in 2001, a career utility player is making the most of his opportunity to play this year. Desi Relaford, and we just went through that story. And how about this date in 2015? Another trade almost gets consumed as the Mets are on the verge of trading infielder Wilmer Flores and pitcher Zach Wheeler to Milwaukee for outfielder Carlos Gomez. The rumor of the deal sweeps through the stands at Citi Field, and Flores breaks into tears on the field as he does not want to leave a team that has grown into a contender. The trade falls through, however, and the Mets lose 7-3 to San Diego in spite of Lucas Duda's three home runs. Okay, now you're probably asking yourself, Stan, what's going on in the group? Well, before I do that, let me just remind you that if you're not a subscriber to this podcast, please do. We're available on your carrier you're listening to right now, so subscribe. If you're not a member of the baseball group, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life, please sign up. We're on Facebook. We got good stuff every day from great people. And if you ever want to reach me personally, I'm at PHILSTAN41@gmail.com. Would love, love, love to hear from you. And you're asking yourself, okay, Stan, enough of that. What is going on? Well, how about we talk about Tyler McGill? He recorded an ERA of 1.04 in the month of July. The last Met pitchers to record an ERA of 1.04 lower in a single season are Jacob DeGrom, June 2021, DeGrom, April 2021, DeGrom, May 2018, and Matt Harvey, 2015. Now, in the month of May, Tyler McGill made five starts for the Mets, and here are his numbers. 1.40 ERA, 26 innings pitched, 27 Ks, 7 walks, 1.40. And let's face it, he's their best pitcher of the month for July. Way to go, Tyler. Now, the Mets would have at least three hits in the game they didn't start. Brandon Drury will join the club. He did it in 2021, July 27th. Others who have done it, Jose Bautista, Desi Relaford, Tom O'Malley, Howard Johnson, Don Clendenin, Billy Murphy, Hawk Taylor, Rod Caniel, and Felix Mantilla. Now, Tyler McGill pitched in on his birthday. Who were the last Mets, who were the only other Mets to do it? Steve Matz, Jacob DeGrom twice, Dylan G, Mark Hart, Dave Malecki, and Wally Whitehurst. And through seven career games, Tyler McGill has made five starts, allowing one or fewer, the best in Met history. Now, who has the lowest ERA by a Mets pitcher through their first seven career games? Minimum 35 innings pitch, Nolan Ryan, 1.98, followed by our good friend Tyler McGill, 2.04. Now, the most strikeouts by a Mets pitcher through their first seven career games, Doc Gooden, 51. Ryan, 50, Harvey, 49, Syndergaard, 45, Pulsifer, 42, and McGill, 39. Now, Brandon Drury joined a select club of players who have hit three pinch hit homers in a season, joining Kelly Johnson, Scott Hairston, all-time leader in a season, Jordani Valdespin with five in 2012, Scott Hairston, Eric Valente, Matt Franco, Chris Jones, and Darryl Boston. Now, here's a good positive sign. In 2015, the Mets were 52-48 after 100 games. This year, they are 54-46. Yeah, baby, and that's their best stretch since 2007 when they won 57 games. Okay, now here's the answers to our Jeopardy questions, Jeopardy and trivia question. Who's ready? Our reporters provide this one. Who is the oldest living Met? The answer is Dave Hillman. He pitched for the 62 Mets and is just shy of 94 years old. God bless you. And the answer to the Baseball Jeopardy question was, two clues traded by the Tampa Bay Rays and New York Mets in exchange for Lucas Duda on July 27, 2017. And he underwent Tommy John surgery during 2019, forcing him to miss the year. Jason Lynch got this one right, and it's Drew Smith. So congratulations, Jason. And that'll wrap up our Jeopardy and trivia question. Okay, that'll wrap up today's podcast. Thank you all for joining. It means a lot to me. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about, hopefully, a happy recap. But don't forget, today's game is at 12:10, so don't go anywhere this afternoon. I'll be going to the game. I'm excited. Drew Smiley, 7-3 with a 4.30 ERA, goes for the Braves. Taijuan Walker, 7-4, 3.43 ERA, goes for the Metropolitans. Should be fun. We'll talk about it tomorrow, along with all the other good stuff we have. So once again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the beautiful day, and let's go Mets!